This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Serial. Good morning, Melbourne, on what we hope will be a bright and sunny Thursday for you. I am Trisha, and alongside me, of course, is James.
Hello.
And Brendan.
Hey, hey, hey.
And we hope to give you what we consider another 3 hours of some quality drive to work content. Our usual segments of Rate It or Hate It, The Ridiculous Quiz, and Trisha on Sport return. We're also going to hear this morning about a little dive that James took, and no, it was not into a pool. Get ready for 2 interviews today with Cat and Bull Club and Tash York between 7:30 and 8:30. They're 2 you definitely don't want to miss. But now let's get straight into a track to start off your morning. This is Location by Khalid. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. Woo!
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. Now, how are we all this morning? We haven't really caught up yet.
Yeah, no, pretty good. Up and about.
Yeah, I'm feeling
up
good.
Up and about. That's what we like to hear.
I wouldn't say up and about.
I've got a bit of energy this morning.
He's buzzing. That's what we like to hear. Well, speaking of having a bit of energy, there's going to be a bit of energy this weekend for a lot of music fans. That's right, the free concert Triple J's One Night Stand is going down in Lucindale, South Australia, and it's expected to get a crowd of, well, they're talking potentially plus over 10,000, that's what it got last year, to a town that has a total of, I think, just over 200 residents.
Oh, wow. So beautiful part of the world, down your way?
It is down my way. Yes, I did come from Mount Gambier area. I'm very, very, very excited. I'm definitely going to head down to this one. Now, I know it's for one of our rival radio stations. They're the ones actually running this show, but I consider us more friends than rivals, us and Triple J, right?
Yeah, allies, yeah.
We'd like to think we're on the same level as well, too.
We are.
Yeah.
What are you on about?
You know, we're saved right next to each other on people's radios, so shout out to our friends Triple J out there, who are almost as good as we are. But they do put on a good concert, and stoked to see some of the names on the list, including Hilltop Hoods, Meg Mac, G Flip,
Ocean Alley.
Yes, that's the main ones. And they've also got an Unearthed winner from Down My Way, who, again, I actually happen to know a couple of the members of the band. So shout out to Chelsea Manor. That's huge for them. It could be a career maker. You just never know. But, yeah, I'm super excited to check it out. And I wanted to get a bit of a gauge on what you're thinking of festivals coming into the festival season this summer. What's on your mind, James?
Well, I'm going to lose my festival virginity, which is great.
But not with me, right?
No.
Oh.
No, with me.
yeah, as awkward as that sounds, I'll be going to Falls for New Year's, and I'm kind of keen not to shower for 4 days.
Yeah. Wow. It's been hyped up about
now. It has been hyped up now, this whole not showering for 4 days. I think we've talked about it on previous shows.
I think that's all he's thinking about. Like, not the music we're going to be listening to, but yeah, the not showering.
Love a good warm shower.
It's not that bad. Honestly, people wouldn't be going back if that's something that turned them off.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I'm going to have a great time.
Yes.
Sure you will. Well, at least they seem to run a lot of these festivals in quieter places, sort of, you know, in the middle of nowhere. At least that one's at Lawn, right? So it's still a pretty well-known place. But I think Lucindale is going to be really interesting because, as I said before, 200 residents. I mean, that is such a small town.
Trisha, you've ever been to Lucindale? Ever heard of Lucindale?
Not until Triple J on Earth.
I lived in that area.
Oh, One Night Stand, sorry. Yeah.
And I've never stopped in Lucindale, so.
No, well, I just got the maps up to have a look to see exactly where it was, and I got no idea. No idea.
I think half of Australia just bypassed South Australia anyway.
Ooh.
That's been mean.
That's a bit of harsh call for you Thursday. Come on. Adelaide has lots of things happening.
I mean, you're from there, so
one month a year.
1 month a year.
March is the festival season, and then the rest of the time it's pretty chill. But
well, so what else is it?
Sorry, what else have...
Oh, you said March is the festival.
So that in Adelaide, they have the festival season is like March. So they have things like the Clipsal 500 around then, the Adelaide Fringe Festival, Adelaide Festival, lots of other ones I can't remember.
Generations and jazz.
That happens in Mount Gambier, but close enough. No, that's Mount Gambier's one big event. That's right. You've been to Mount Gambier, haven't you, James?
Yeah, I have a couple of times, man.
Oh, yeah? What did you think?
Oh, yeah.
Center of the universe.
I actually
beautiful
like it
part We stayed in Portland, which was about half an hour away.
About an hour and a half away. Good to see your concept of time is as vague as ever.
Yeah, I remember it took a long bus ride there when we stayed at a hotel in Portland. We had to drive all the way to Mount Gambier. It was a bit of a trek.
Yeah, that's brutal.
It wasn't half an hour. I mean, making him think.
It wasn't that far. Maybe it wasn't.
Are you sure it wasn't Port McDonald? I mean, I know this is very obscure chat for our Melbourne listeners who think that Melbourne is the only place in the world, but...
No, it was definitely Portland.
Definitely Portland. All right, there you go. There's some fascinating information.
Then we stayed at the old jail.
This is a story.
Yeah, I was sleeping in prison cells with no heater. It was a bit of an experience.
It's all about having that genuine experience, though, right? The toilet's
next to your bed.
To get moldy.
So if you can handle
breakfast.
That, you can handle a no shower or like a minimal shower for a couple of days. So you're fine.
Yeah, when you've got your roommate just taking a late night next to you, yeah.
Okay.
I just want to take this moment to point out that the only accommodation in Mount Gambier isn't an old jail. There is other places you can stay there too.
That'd be very cool, though.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, but it is over 100 years old, so you know,
stayed at the jail.
Pretty spooky. The stay at the jail is it's an experience.
You've done it?
For sure. I haven't, but I've been to some music events there and wandered around afterwards, and it's pretty eerie.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, you'd get pretty scared.
Yeah, well, I wanted to do the Melbourne jail tour. So we did that.
Ghost tour?
Yeah,
or just there?
The ghost tour, yeah. So me and the fam did that a few years ago now, and I've always said I wanted to stay there, but I know I wouldn't be able to. Yeah, it was just scary walking up and down knowing what happened there once, let alone sleeping in there.
Absolutely.
Certainly a bit of haunted.
Certainly. I did the Geelong prison ghost tour once, the old Geelong prison, and that was spooky. We went there late at night and, you know, they keep reminding you someone died here, someone jumped off this balcony, and you go, great, cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for that.
Yep.
Why did I sign up again?
So, festivals.
Yeah. We're
taking a real journey here. Speaking of festivals, I think we've got another song lined up that might be related to a festival.
Yeah, well, headlining Beyond the Valley, or I wouldn't say headlining.
Okay,
but
Rufus is headlining, but close enough.
But these guys should be, the Veronicas. they're going to be playing Untouched for us this morning. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Get Serial. That was Throw Your Arms Around Me by Hunters and Collectors.
What a tune.
It is a tune. I like a bit of Hunters and Collectors. We play a bit of Hunters and Collectors.
We do. Well, they've got they're reuniting. They're reforming. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Very excited for that. So they'll be playing at the Red Hot Summer Tour. Get around it.
I'm surprised they're not Grand Final Entertainment, although I'm pretty sure they have a couple of times.
How good would they be?
They would definitely be something worth seeing. But we're going to talk relationships and all that kind of jazz.
We've missed this, James.
It doesn't have to do with my life today, which is something a bit different, bit of a different flavour.
So let me get this straight. You're talking about something that isn't directly related to yourself?
Oh, low blow.
I'm so glad I wasn't the one that said it.
Trisha thought it. Brendan said it. No, we're going to talk deal breakers.
Okay, I love it.
But silly deal breakers, because I was having a conversation with one of my university friends yesterday. And the conversation came up, is a person's name a deal breaker? Say you're talking to someone of the opposite sex and you're interested, but they're like, say for a girl, they're talking to like a Martin, or we're talking to like a Jillian. Like, is a really ugly name. To all your Jillians and your Martins. Like,
we love you, Jillian.
We love you, Jillian. We love you, Martin. But to all the people that have names you don't particularly like...
More older names, I think it is. The names that, you know, there's no Josh or something like that.
Like a Ruth.
I don't know. See, that's kind
of... So this is going to be so...
Personal choice. But yes, okay, so the deal breaker is there's some names that you simply would not date.
That's a really attractive person, but they've got a name that's just you can't handle.
So if I was, I don't know, if I was Jillian...
If you were Trisha. No, I'm joking.
Oh my goodness. What is going on here?
No, but say, if my name was like Clive, or your boyfriend's name was Clive, would that...
I don't want to say anything I'm going to regret right now.
Think about it. If your boyfriend's name was Clive, would that turn you off a little bit? Trisha and Clive.
We love you, Clive. Please don't leave our radio show.
You'd really consider it. Honestly, I would.
And Brendan, you have a lovely girlfriend.
Yes, I do.
And what's her name?
That would be Charlotte. So
Charlotte's a nice name. What if her name was Gertrude?
I believe that our relationship is slightly deeper than just each other's names, but you know,
Brendan and Gertrude.
Would it have made a difference in the early days? I don't think it would have for me, but I can see how it would be a deal breaker for some. I don't know. I don't even remember names half the time. I don't remember my own name half the time, so I don't think that would be the biggest issue for me.
As bad as this sounds, I think for me it would be like, people would be like, is that really his name? And I would, like, make me second guess it, whereas if I really liked the guy, I'd be like, oh, what can you do? He didn't ask for the name. But, yeah, it's more what
other
people
think. Give him a nickname
that
you don't need to call him by his real name.
Yeah.
You can always get your name changed, just putting it out there. Not that you should, Clive, wherever you're listening.
Okay, true.
We do love you. I'd date you.
And are there any other...
I may not remember your name.
I love this.
But I'll take you.
Anyway, we'll get more personal. Is there any deal breakers you have that are probably a little bit silly or that you find are very like 50-50?
What for you, Trisha?
Do you have any deal breaker that you just don't particularly like on a guy or something that a guy does that just turns you off? What's a turn off that's a bit subjective?
Not weird, but honestly, and he's going to be like, of course, if you don't like sport, I would never consider you. Honestly. And you know what, now, like, so my ex wasn't a Collingwood supporter, now my boyfriend now is a Collingwood supporter.
It helps,
I don't
it?
Think, don't want it to happen, but if me and my boyfriend ever broke up, I don't think I could ever date someone again that isn't a Collingwood supporter.
Oh, God. Ooh, that means you're going to have little Collingwood children and then you're going to take over the world.
They're going to be Collingwood supporters of weather.
I'm a bit different.
Help us all.
I'm a bit different because everyone knows my love for footy.
Yes.
And all your listeners, you probably know that too. Even though I don't talk too much footy on air. But, yes, I really love footy, and not one person I've dated has been into footy. And it hasn't really affected
what?
It too much. Obviously, it would help, though, if they did love footy, because it's like easy date, just go to the footy and no complaints.
I just think for someone like you and I who's trying to make a career out of it as well, we need someone who's really supportive of it.
But on the other hand, don't you need someone you can turn off from that with?
Yeah, like a balance. Like someone, if you want to get away from that space, you've got...
You're
going to
be
else.
Full-time sport, hypothetically, if you end up as a sports journalist.
Yeah, but I have,
journalist.
Like, I know at the moment, I have, like, my festivals and, like, my love for music and gigs and all that. That I will never, ever go to one of them with my boyfriend. Like, I know that. He doesn't like it. So that's my getaway, I guess, at the moment.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Anyway, Brandon, you've got a list.
I do have a list. So these aren't mine. I really should clarify here. I have found a list online of deal breakers, and I'd love to take you through a few of them, a few weird deal breakers, and see just a yes
okay.
or no.
All right.
So having improper grammar is one. Can you deal with someone that has improper grammar? Or
I've got improper grammar, so they're going to have to deal with me.
If I'm speaking to a guy and they say, if I did speak to a guy, that should clarify that one, and they said defiantly instead of definitely, goodbye.
I say use. Over.
Yeah, that
yeah,
annoys me too.
That's literally the example they use here. You would be in trouble. All right. Liking food that's too cheesy.
No. As in actual cheese.
Have you seen Trisha eat pasta? There's. Well, what did you say to me the other day? There's not.
Can I have some pasta with my cheese, please?
Yeah, so that's definitely not one for Trisha. I don't know. I can't help your food likings.
Here's a good one I like a lot. Not having a hairy chest. obviously, that's for girls. Like girls as in guys.
My sister hates hairy guys.
She hates hairy. She's the opposite.
Yeah.
So I can't even grow a beard, so the chance of me having hair on my chest is
very
no.
minimal. What about, you can answer these as we go on.
I guess, yeah, look, I don't really look for females to have hairy chest. Moving right along. having gross feet. Ooh, this one's controversial.
Well, one, you don't see feet, but when you do, if they look really dirty, then that could be a turn off. I know if you're meeting someone for the first time, say they've got the thongs on, and you have a stare at their feet and they're disgusting, then that, of course, that would be a turn off. But a deal break, I'm not so sure. You
what
can fix it.
For you,
so I've never really, so many people grossed out by feet, and it's never been something.
Neutral.
I mean, like, have a shower, keep them clean, but, like, it wouldn't If it's a normal foot, I don't care.
Yeah. Fair enough. And I'm going to end on this one. Smelling like a sibling. So using the same deodorant or something as a sibling does. Is that a deal breaker?
I mean, I'm a triplet, so we...
Yeah, we
share a lot of our stuff. We have most of our own colognes and all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't say we smell like each other. I don't know if it's a deal breaker. I mean, like, I'm sure there's someone else in the world wearing the exact same cologne or smelling like you anyway.
Yeah. I think the point here is that, you know, if one of your siblings smelt a certain way and then you met someone and they also smelt the same way, that it would be a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it'd probably be... It would certainly be a turn off.
The next birthday present would be a new body spray. Yep. I like this one. You should try this.
Yes. Smells a bit less like my sister. Great. Let's get into another tune now. I think we've just about talked enough turn-offs for the morning. Hopefully you're not all feeling too turned off.
Well, you're going to be turned on by this song. This is a hot new track by One Republic. It's Wanted. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin. We all love a bit of Queen, and that was Somebody to Love. And right now, one of the most anticipated segments, I say that every week. It is my rate it or hate it. Obviously, how the game works for all you new listeners. I'm going to give you a couple of... I'm going to give both Trisha and Brendan a couple of controversial questions, and they're going to say if they hate it or rate it.
I get a little bit confused sometimes because sometimes they are more questions
or
than statements.
Yeah,
so when they're a question, I feel like I'm hating one side and rating the other. But when they're a statement, I can hate it or rate it. Does that make sense? Yeah. There was a couple of times in previous weeks where it gets a bit confusing in that regard. Anyway, lay it on us and we'll decide whether we hate it or rate it.
Now, today we've got a food edition. Ooh. So it's kind of about superior foods. So which one is the more superior? I can't even say that word. But anyway, first one is HSPs, halal snack packs, over kebabs. Hate it or rate it?
Absolutely hate that. Kebabs are the best. There is
so
no
they're the
question.
Goat?
Yeah.
Kebabs are the goat.
Yeah, kebab.
Ooh, agreement over there as well.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I only recently just started having HSPs, like very recently.
It's everything's so much better when you wrap it in like bit of a pita bread type thing or whatever it is.
Bit of garlic sauce, it goes down a treat.
Oh yeah.
Now I feel like a kebab. No, I'm a HSP kind of person. It's like my go-to these days, especially after a night out, HSP all the way.
I have noticed that. You're often talking about HSPs and you've got this sort of dreamy look in your eyes. You gaze into the distance and think about chips.
We had the one when we went out the other week.
Certainly
yeah, bit of cheese, bit of barbecue, garlic, and chili sauce, and it just works on the chips. Do you know what though? With HSPs, is they don't look appetizing at all. Like I remember before I'd had a HSP, I'm like, ew, what is that?
I get it.
Then I eat it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is goodness. Like this is so good. But anyway, next superior food.
Goodness.
This segment was not sponsored by HSPs in any way, shape, or form.
It should be.
Reach out to us.
Parmas are better than just the plain schnitty, than the plain schnitzel. Hate it or rate it.
Again, I'm probably going to have to hate that. I love a good old-fashioned schnitzel.
Like a bit of gravy on it or just the plain schnitzel?
Yeah, absolutely a bit of gravy. You wouldn't eat it straight.
I know people that eat
a bit of either that or a bit of sauce or a bit of salt and pepper, but I don't know. I'd also like a palmy or a parma, depending on where you're from.
Parma.
Mm. You're speaking of parma experts right now. I am. That magazine.
Is this a chance for you to plug your magazine?
No, please.
Yeah, well, I actually need some opinions on palmy or parma, so while you're here.
He's not lying.
No, what about you, Trisha?
No, Palmer all the way.
I thought you might be.
I love a Palmer because then you change it up. Like it's not just traditional. Like I make my Mexican Palmers.
Of course. What does a Mexican Palmer have again?
You can put jalapenos. You can put like actual corn chips on them, like salami.
Bit of pineapple?
No. That's Hawaiian.
I love a bit of pineapple.
Get your culture right.
Yeah, no, I'm Palmer as well, but yesterday we went for lunch, or 2 days ago went for lunch, and it was the first time I've been out in probably 2 years, and have avoided the Palmer.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Were you feeling unwell?
I reckon wrong? I must have been, or maybe I was just a bit of a tight ass because I definitely got the chicken focaccia, which was about $10 cheaper.
So I got a chicken focaccia, and I'm like, it still looked good. Nick had the Palmer, and I'm like, like it did look good though.
Thrilling meal chat here.
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten this morning, so I might need a croissant after the show, as always.
I think we should do a breakfast Palmer.
Oh, like, that's an
a bacon
idea
and egg.
It'd
be like an Aussie Palmer,
oh my
wouldn't
goodness.
It? Bacon, bacon and egg.
Official Get cereal meal.
Maybe a bit of smashed egg Palmer.
Can we do this?
Ooh. Maybe we'll come back to this in future weeks. I think we might have to do a pre-show Palmer one morning.
Never too early for a Palmer.
I'm so excited about this prospect right now.
Anyway, the last one. I'm pretty sure you're all going to agree on this one, but ice creams are superior to icy poles. Hate it or rate it.
Absolutely ice creams. I can't believe this is a rate it, definitely. I can't believe you even made this question, James. This is on you, not on me.
But
this
have you had a cyclone icy pole before? Or a lifesaver icy pole?
Yeah, refreshing. When I was 5 years just old.
I love cyclone icy pole. They taste, now I want one of them. Why are we talking about food?
It's too cold for an icy pole, but definitely on a 40 degree summer day, it's bit more refreshing to have an icy pole, but generally I'm more ice creams.
But it's more refreshing again just to have a cold glass of water or, a soft drink or something.
Yeah, a bit of cola.
Yeah, that's it. But no, it's got to be ice cream. But then again, I am an ice cream fanatic, so.
Yeah, I love my ice cream. James can't believe that it'll be the middle of the winter and I'll be like trying to find an ice cream shop.
We'll be out. I'll be in my full puffer jacket, rugged up, and just be like, oh, ice cream? Ice cream? Ice cream?
Pretty much like that too, like, could you imagine?
Oh, I'm not quite that bad.
Stop, you're making me cold.
No, I love it. I love it.
No, but I will, whenever we're in the Grampians at Halls Gap, got to have an ice cream from the ice cream shop there. That's iconic.
Yes, yeah, I know what you're on about.
Even middle of winter, don't care. You just have to. It's traditional.
Well, it was snowing in Canberra for that footy game just a couple of weeks ago. And they had the ice cream truck there.
Did they really?
And people were getting ice cream. Like, it's snowing.
It snow is like cones.
You're basically eating snow. Like, bloody hell.
They're getting into it. They're getting around it. What do we got coming up next, Trisha?
What do we have coming up? Hold on. Give me 1 second.
We've got a fire playlist, though.
Get around it.
Oh, we have Three Nights by Dominic Fike.
Dominic
is that how we're saying it? Fike?
I think that's a better way of saying it than you could say it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it could be.
So sing along in your cars to this one.
It's a good song. I actually like this tune.
Yeah, so let's go.
You're listening to Get Cereal on Sid with James, Trisha and Brendan.
You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. And it's time to bring back a segment that didn't get a lot of love to start with, but I think it's growing on the panel here.
I've loved it since the first minute.
There we go. That's more like it.
That was just trying to be nice to say Trisha doesn't like it.
Pretty much. For those who don't know what I'm talking about by now, I am, of course, talking about the Moos.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. We can do better than that. It's time to get professional here. So this segment is all about the latest in cow news. It is an absolute favourite of James's, isn't it, James?
It really is. Really, really is. I love a good cow. I want to move with the cows just for a minute. This segment. Oh, God.
Rightio, we are getting into it today. That's right, no. We do have cow noises, we have upgraded it. So, for all you farmers out there, or people who are just passionate about cows, we are going to talk the latest in cow news, as we have for the last 2 weeks, because there is so much good cow news out there. So to start off with, I want to take you through this one. Milking the smartphone generation. Indian state to launch an Adopt-a-Cow app. What do we think, guys?
Adopt-a-Cow app.
Adopt-a-Cow app. So apparently with too many stray cows and overcrowded shelters... Okay, those cows are really distracting. I can go away for a minute. Stray cows and overcrowded shelters, a growing problem across India. The government has said that it wants to introduce high-tech solutions so you can adopt a cow. What do we reckon? Do we rate it?
I'd adopt a baby cow.
A calf, yes.
A calf.
That's
yes,
almost
a car.
As worse as what I did.
I'd definitely adopt a car.
Oh, dear.
But it has to grow up.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Apparently, you're actually donating money to a shelter for its upkeep. And, of course, cows are a sacred animal in India.
Yeah.
And I think we should.
Well, I'm pretty sure, like, oh, my God. You can do, like, adopt an animal, like, for other various animals, I think. So, I mean, if... I could...
You can't deal with the cows in the background. Wow. So you rate it. You rate it to go off
changes.
Well,
I think it's worked for other animals. So I don't see why it wouldn't work for
a
cow.
I think it's fair. I think it's brilliant, just the concept of getting on your smartphone and adopting
a
cow.
Yeah.
Making sure it has a happy life somewhere.
I'd definitely ride a cow to uni.
You would too.
I'd be fine.
Rock up at uni.
My Uber cows or ride-sharing cows. That'd be pretty cool.
I have so many questions. Can we launch this as an app, please?
I reckon we could try. Be
give it a Red
Hot
Go. Because you also get milk on the way, right?
Oh, of course.
True.
You get, transport premium. And a meal.
Instead of the ride-sharing people offering you waters, you offer them milk.
Do you want some milk with that?
How's your night been tonight, mate? Oh, you want some milk?
Alright, on to the next one. Apparently, in Spain, they are trialling in some areas replacing zebra crossings with cow spots. Do we like that one?
Yes, that's inclusive. I like that.
I think Australia needs to get around it. Cows are a big part of our history and part of our, agricultural industry. So, I think we should get around it. Apparently, they're doing it in rural areas to raise awareness of the industries which keep rural parts of Spain alive. Just imagine it, though. It'd be very confusing because, obviously, the spots aren't consistent, like zebra.
Yeah, I feel like you'd have to almost go, like...
Yeah, they
no
have
one can
to
see what I'm doing right
pattern.
Now, but
no,
yeah.
Trisha was marking out a consistent pattern on the ground and then realised this wasn't a visual medium.
No, I do that all the time.
All right, and we've got one more. This one is probably my favourite of the week, which is that Ashton Kutcher, who I think most people should know, fairly famous guy. Don't know.
I'm joking.
Went in a competition on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show to see who could milk a cow faster.
Wow.
So that's right. What an epic race. Apparently, it was a serious showdown taken very seriously by everyone involved.
I'd pay a lot of money to go see that.
It would have been a pretty good show. Apparently, the loser had to go up to the audience and say, "I'm sorry I didn't milk the cow better," which is a pretty serious thing on the line.
Yeah, I would not like to have to do that.
I would not like to have to say that either. apparently it was a pretty epic showdown. Make sure you get on online on social media and give it a watch. Spoiler alert, Jimmy Fallon won, as he often tends to do in those competitions.
It's his own show. He takes it bloody seriously, doesn't he?
He always seems to win.
Doesn't want to lose.
But apparently there was a great moment when Ashton Kutcher first touched the cow. The cow may have dropped a load, so to speak.
That's not a load of milk.
No, it's a load of decomposing grass. So that was a good start to it, and I think things went downhill from there for Ashton. But credit to him, he gave it a red hot go. So that's the moves again for all you cow lovers out there. That's right, let's get around it one more time just to make Trisha really happy. We love the moves here on Sin. I tell you, we're going to do it to the end of days. This is not the end. This is only the beginning. We will start our cow
empire.
That's
getting louder and louder.
I think we're milking it a bit.
Always. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin with James, Trisha, Brendan,
maybe
and
not Trisha.
Cows. What are we listening to next?
We've got Green Light by Lord.
Get keen.
Probably.
Let's get ready to
Cereal.
Good morning, fellas. In this hour on Get Cereal, we have heaps to look forward to. Trisha and I are level in the ridiculous quiz, so it will definitely be a fiery contest. We are also welcoming the Cat and Bull Club into the studio to have a yarn about their new album. They'll stick around to play the iconic Clickbait Frenzy as well. We have a fire playlist coming up with Post Malone's new single Circles not far away. We also have a bit of Ariana Grande and the Chainsmokers coming up too. But for now, here is a hot new track by Love, This Is Said Forever. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sing.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan, and it's time now for the most anticipated quiz of the week on radio. That's right. Forget all those other ones which are worth lots of money. This is the ultimate showdown between good and evil, between the two people who have the biggest rivalry in sport, I could possibly argue.
There's such a love-hate between us.
I am, of course, hyping up the ridiculous quiz. James and Trisha are my two contestants. We've got our little opener, which is also ridiculous.
Love it.
You get the idea. And yes, it's 4-4 thus far, so it's a pretty good rivalry between you two.
4-4 controversial, but okay. We'll keep going.
Okay. I feel like the winner is really in the box seat to take it out, obviously, with only 3 weeks left. To have one up at this stage of the competition.
It's crucial.
It is really crucial. So in for a big contest today.
Yeah. And it's why we've gone to a really important subject today. That subject, of course, being... I have to give some background first. It is Taylor Swift. The reason I have chosen Taylor Swift as the topic of today's discussion is that I discovered a few weeks ago that both of you are actually T-Swizzle fans.
Yeah, I think...
I had no idea.
I think we are, but, like, on the down low. It's not something that we, you know, say all the time, yeah, we loved. Like, I do, but it's not publicised.
Well, I certainly found it out of the blue. I had no idea that I wouldn't have picked you as a Taylor Swift fan.
Did we see she's going to be performing at Melbourne Cup? Is it?
Possibly.
Yeah.
No, confirmed. It got confirmed. Yeah.
Ooh, so my gossip.
I just wanted to make sure I got the right race.
There we go. Yeah. Well, I'm happy with that because I did break that one first. Mm. That whisper. Remember
you
on
did.
The show a couple of weeks ago. Pretty proud of myself there.
I think we'll be going down.
Yeah, definitely on Melbourne Cup Day.
Yes,
to see a hidden one of our guilty pleasures in Taylor Swift.
Anyway, speaking of guilty pleasures, we better get into this quiz. Same as usual, use your name as buzzers. Don't try and change it this time, James.
So I'm not Lord Farquaad this week.
No. For those who missed it, go get the podcast. Last week we did have a Shrek quiz and it was epic. Wasn't that right, Lord
The best
Farquaad?
Of them all.
Yeah, it was the best.
It's always better when I take home the win, too.
Oh. So.
Should have been mine. Anyway.
To be fair, you did win the previous week with that ridiculous Finding Nemo quote. That wasn't great.
That was controversial.
And
very underwhelming.
He didn't know that I love fish.
imagine winning that.
You love fish
way.
And Taylor Swift. You must have a really weird ad preferences online.
Yeah, trust me.
I can just imagine.
All right, let's get into it. I've got a few questions for you today. Use your name as buzzers. We'll start off with some questions where I just need you to give me the correct answer. Best of three. Let's go. What type of farm did Taylor Swift used to live on?
James. I love it this much.
Go for it. Guess a potato farm.
Incorrect. I would have loved it if she lived on a potato farm. All right, you got a counter answer, Trisha?
Farm. Oh. Wait, she was in Texas.
Oh, showing off your knowledge now.
Don't try and stare at the laptop.
I'm actually not. I'm looking at the stairs.
Let me put on some thinking music for you.
Oh my god, this is making me dance.
Surely that's time.
No, I'm
yeah,
gonna,
all right.
No, I'm going to go cow farm.
Incorrect. It's generally not called
cows.
A cow farm, but we do love a cow farm. Make sure you get on the podcast again, the moose. All right, I'll give you a clue. Christmas related farm.
Oh, Trisha.
Go for it.
Christmas trees.
Hey. James is looking disgusted.
You gave her the answer.
I did not. It could have been Christmas pudding farm. I don't know.
What else could have...
You should have said tree farm.
Well, you should have been quicker. You both had an opportunity to jump
in there. This is how it felt last week when I forgot my name, but anyway.
Oh, there's so much salt in the studio. I swear you could almost harvest it at this point. James
he's
is
not
a
even
salt
happy.
Farm.
I'm just waiting for my free ride, the next question.
All right.
Armchair ride.
Armchair ride. What TV show did Taylor Swift make her acting debut in?
I know the movie.
You guys are disgraceful.
I'm just
going to
say
T-Swizzle
James
fans.
And have a guess and say it was Glee.
No, but that's a good guess. Trisha?
She was in a Hannah Montana movie, but I don't think that was first.
You gonna go with it?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't her first. I'll give you a clue. Crime-related TV show.
James.
Go for it.
NCIS.
Ooh, okay, no, not quite. No, getting close.
I don't watch crime shows.
Go on, have another guess then, James. Come on, you're so close.
Oh, God. There's two that are in mind. And I know if I get this one wrong, I don't get another chance.
I know.
So I'm going to say Criminal Minds.
No, incorrect again.
I was going to say CSI, but it's not.
I'm going to give it to you because you said it, because Trisha's got nothing. So, yes, CSI apparently is where she made her acting debut. That takes it to one.
I think a couple of actors have been on those shows. I know Justin Bieber was on one of them. Can't remember which one it was, but
that would have been a horrendous episode.
It was the saddest thing of my life.
He got murdered.
Yeah.
Really?
I want to see this.
Okay, I changed my mind. We're going to see this episode.
We're not watching that. Not with me.
Well, that's going on the to-watch list, that's for sure. But that does take us to 1-1. Are you happy with your armchair ride there, as requested?
I'm happy with my armchair.
No, okay.
I didn't
know it. Before the next question, no armchair ride whatsoever.
If we don't know it, just go to a new question.
No, this one is really going to test you. This one is bringing together... So it's a bit different. It's going to bring together a few different answers. I need each of you to take it in turns naming an ex of Taylor Swift. And whoever runs out first loses.
I don't even know any. So Trisha wins.
Oh, what? You don't know anyone that Taylor Swift
runs? John Mayer?
Yep, correct. Come on.
Taylor Lautner? Sorry, you're not going to get any of these. There was Jonas Brothers. There was...
Trisha wins.
I could keep going.
Trisha wins. Unbelievable. You told me you were a Taylor Swift fan. This is controversial. James is not looking happy. Trisha is holding up her trophy. Is there anything you'd like to say to all the Taylor Swift fans out there having taken the victory?
I did it for you guys.
Any song lyrics you want to quote?
Oh, there's a few. Oh, no. Off the top... Well, James will be singing like that, like the Mean song. You know, remember that song? That's me right now.
Oh, he's looking angry. He's looking very unhappy in the studio. We better get to a song before he lets out this rage on air.
Thank God there's a good song coming.
That is correct. We do have Circles by Post Malone coming in. This is a fresh one, right? Get hyped.
James loves this song. I love this song. So
fresh.
Turn it up in your cars. Get keen. Here we go. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
And we all hope that you enjoyed that song as much as we did in the show. I don't know if Brenda did, but
I did enjoy it. It's a different sound for Post Malone, isn't it?
Yeah, I really like it. Have you listened to the full album yet, anyone?
Oh, the album's great.
Yeah? I haven't yet.
See, I can't say that I'm a Post Malone fan. Like, I don't rate him as much as other people do, but listening to his new album, definitely on the bandwagon.
I reckon we'll save this chat for entertainment at the end, because right now... It's our favourite segment of the week, and it is Trisha on Sport. Oh, I wish I actually had the time to make our little...
A little opener.
Yeah, but, you know...
You do realise that mine are literally 5-second cobbled together jobs.
You know, if I did one, it'll just be like, good old Colin.
Do I have to play that again?
No, we don't.
Thank goodness.
Because we are steering well away from AFL this week.
Interesting, considering Collingwood got a nice win.
Yes, we did. Can you see my gear?
Didn't want to mention it.
Should save that for grand final, right? I've seen all the posts online.
Look, if you unfriended me by now, like, I wouldn't even feel bad.
I'm considering it.
Just unfollow me. Brandon. Be my friend still. No, so there was a few things I could have spoken about this week, but in the last maybe 24 to 48 hours, it has been discussed about the potential ban for ring girls at the anticipated UFC 243 card in Melbourne next month. So the proposed ban is actually called from various politicians, including our Lord Mayor of Melbourne. Daniel Andrews has also spoken about on this one. Already, Melbourne has banned grid girls from the Formula One. Walk-on girls at professional darts are no longer at the events. Daniel Andrews came out and said that, quote, "We have come a long way in making sport more accessible for women and girls. Events have a powerful message to send when it comes to the representation of women in sport and the community." I think that banning the ring girls is also a great move. women have worked so hard for a long time to have an equal representation in sport, to be considered as, you know, as professional, you know, as a higher standard. And I think this is such an old and outdated tradition that needs to eventually come to an end. And I would love to hear the opinions, because I know both of you have got two different opinions.
No, it's risky being guys talking about this topic, especially on radio. Yeah. And I have to agree with you to an extent. But on the other hand, if they're happy to get into very little clothes and get paid for it, then is there really a problem? Like, I don't think they're complaining.
That's the thing. They're
getting,
not being forced.
They're getting cash. If they want to do it, then they do it. And it's a tradition that's been done for many years in the UFC. So, like, I don't think it needs to be stopped urgently.
Yeah, I think it's like as early as the early 1900s, and it's a tradition across all mixed martial arts. So I understand that side of the argument. Mm. I really do, but I think more for
like it's not necessary. Like we could do without it, but it is a tradition, and we know how we feel about getting rid of traditions. Just like saying if AFL grand finals to play at night, like it just doesn't sit well just because we're used to it being a day. It's a tradition, and if they're happy getting paid and they're happy wearing short clothes and dancing around the ring, then so be it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? There's so much going on here. It's kind of hard to know where to begin. I mean, as James has made a very valid point, which is that at the end of the day, this isn't any, you know, this is 100% the ball is in their court.
They're not getting forced to do it.
But I also agree with Tricia that we've come a long way. And I also think that just because something's a tradition doesn't mean that it should keep going. There's a lot of traditions out there that do need to change and that have changed. I mean, with, you know, marriage, gay marriage now being allowed is one example of a tradition that's changed.
Either way, there's going to be people that aren't happy.
Oh, absolutely. The thing that I find, and I'm going to possibly get a little bit even more controversial here, that I find really difficult with this issue, is that UFC in itself is pretty barbaric and kind of goes to these core, but it kind of appeals to the baser instincts of people. And so I know that sounds terrible, but this is literally a sport where people are using any method they can to beat each other up. The fact that there's also these
basically
more,
die in this sport.
It's insane. People have...
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the sport. It's fun to watch, but I wouldn't be getting in the octagon myself.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. I have very conflicted feelings about the sport itself. And so the fact that, you know, there's also this other, let's say something that also appeals to people's base urges going on around it is kind of unsurprising. Just looking at it from a whole sort of holistic perspective, it doesn't mean it's right, but I actually question a little bit the whole sport. So there's me going on a limb.
Do you reckon Dan Andrews is creating this issue to kind of steer people away from that opinion?
I don't know. I know it was an issue.
As like a scapegoat for that?
I'm pretty sure it used to be banned in Victoria. I remember when the first UFC was held here, there were restrictions around it. They only changed those rules in more recent years. Yeah. What do you think, Tricia, of UFC as a sport? I mean, I know it's a bit of a turn away from what we're talking about here.
No.
It's relevant. It's still UFC.
I'm definitely not a fan.
Yeah.
I just think as well, for younger audiences, it's not appropriate. Like, we talk about video games and things like that that are really influencing the way that our kids are behaving. I don't think this is any different. This is real as well. It's not a cartoon.
Well, it's not staged like wrestling either.
Exactly.
No, yeah, it's... Yeah. And it is... There are some brutal hits, and we have so many issues with, you know...
Coward punch.
Yeah, and aggression and violence in society. It is a pretty interesting thing that we then promote it front and centre, and then have lots of good-looking girls parading around it as well. So you can see why people have a bit of an issue with the girls being involved. It kind of does. It all feels very strange, a very odd glorification. But again, there's always the alternate view, which is that that's not the only place that you can go and see people not wearing very many clothes. You know,
exactly.
I mean, people go and find that experience anywhere. So I guess I'm sitting on the fence. Maybe I've got a few splinters in
my
butt,
so to speak.
I'm on the
fence too. I can see both sides to this.
But I
and
think,
well, clearly.
I think we should have some conversations more broadly about the UFC itself as before we start delving into the individual issues, which I definitely think they're issues, but... Yeah, there's so much to unpack here.
I was speaking to this about James last night as we were prepping, and is there a sport where it's a male, where doesn't come out with a shirt on or of some sort.
When and, they swim.
And, yeah. Okay, that's a bit different. But, like, it that does a similar sort of...
Yeah, the parading yeah. while the, because, the females do.
Yeah, because if that I still think is an issue as well. Like, you're watching the sport. You're not going for that. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting point as well. But I do happen to know some girls who will quite happily watch sporting events because of how the males look, the athletes.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
I guess that's a separate issue as opposed to having someone there who's literally there as proverbial eye candy. Mm. I mean, that's... It is. When you think about it, when you put it in those words, it does sound pretty wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Because they're just not... there for eye candy. I can see where it comes from. I can see both points, really. I don't think there is a right or wrong answer as such, because it's just such a... It's such an issue.
It's a conversation to have more than the 5 minutes that we're
yeah, that we've got allotted to it, absolutely. Yeah. But on the whole, if you had to force me to choose, I'd say I think they have to go. I don't know. What do you think, James?
Yeah, probably actually agree with that. Yep. I mean, like, if it doesn't, no big deal. If it does, no big deal. I think we're making...
Too much out of it.
Catching at straws.
At the end of the day, if Australia bring in these huge UFC fighters, you're going to go and watch them regardless.
Yeah, well, that's right. Surely people aren't turning up just for that show. If they are, there's other places they can get their
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, we might get into another song. What do we got coming up next, James?
I've got Call You Mine by the Chainsmokers. Hot enjoy. Track, so enjoy. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
Woo! You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. Just heard Stupid there by G-Flip, which is a great track. I've been loving a bit of G-Flip. I'm very excited to see them on the weekend.
And just been loving the playlist in general.
Yeah, it's been good so far.
This morning's been good.
We're upping our game. Speaking of upping our game, we're very, very lucky to be joined in the studio today by the wonderful band Cat and Bull Club. So thank you so much for coming in, guys. Now, Cat and Bull Club are a band that has just emerged into the world, I'd say. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's been something in the making for probably 12 months, but it's sort of ready for everyone to hear now. Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah, so you've emerged as evocative songwriters with this alternative take on the Celtic folk genre. I can't talk today at all. Doing well. Creating an original feel that is a combination of many styles. Both have played, so both Laurie and Adam, who we're fortunate enough to have in the studio here today, have played over their musical careers. The songs on the self-titled album are a stark and rootsy exploration of modern folk music. We're also joined by violinist Charlotte as well. So,
hello.
Thank you for joining us today. Tell us about yourselves. Obviously, you're fairly fresh onto the scene, so let us know a little bit about your history. Where have you come from and what are you doing?
Sure. Okay, so the quick bio, because obviously I could talk for ages, if you like. It's obviously I grew up here in Melbourne and moved to London for a long time. During that time, I had a pretty interesting musical career, running studios, doing music for advertising and films, as well as playing in lots of bands and having creative projects. Probably the biggest band I played in as a bass player was a band called Shane McGowan and the Popes, which is a...
That's a brilliant name.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's a... which was a big progression of a very, very popular band from the 80s and early 90s called the Pogues. So they had a mission to bring folk music from the 30s and the 40s from Ireland and generally Wales and all that Celtic area of the world into modern times. And so they're obviously probably their most famous song is a song called Fairy Tale in New York, which probably everyone's heard of at least once.
Yeah, that definitely rings a bell.
So that band was very interesting. I got to see the world, all of Europe, a lot of the, you know, the extensively through the UK and then into Canada, particularly and little bits of the US. So that was an amazing part of my life. I moved back to Australia about 3 or 4 years ago, and Adam and I had known each other and done creative projects in the past, and we reconnected and started this project. And we were also lucky to be introduced to Charlotte along the way to sort of give us some of those Celtic vibes across the songs. So there's the violin there, which is really based the music in this genre, which is what we wanted.
Absolutely. And there's another member of the band who isn't here today.
Yeah, that's right. That's Dylan. So that's my son. So Dylan's a bass player.
He's actually sick this morning, unfortunately, so he couldn't make it in.
That's
but,
all right.
Yeah, so he, so Laurie, as Laurie said, Laurie and I sort of hooked up again maybe about a year and a half or so ago. We got a little studio out in the back of Ringwood East. And yeah, so we, Laurie and I started playing together again after, how long hadn't we played together for?
Probably 20 years.
20 years, yeah. Yeah. So back in the 90s, we had a band together called Jupiter that was like space blues, we used to call it.
But very yeah, 90s.
Yeah, very 90s, yeah. And it was a real combo because before that I'd been playing like rockabilly and Laurie was very heavily into blues and stuff at the stage. And yeah, we had a real mix of players then. But when Laurie and I got back together, in recent times, Dylan joined us. And then Dylan also met Charlotte at uni. Is that right, Charlotte?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and brought her along to a couple of jams. And then Laurie introduced us to this great bunch of new songs that we've sort of pulled together for this album.
Yeah. Well, I think, it's been collaborative. We've developed them. You know, the overall, we call it a collective because the songs themselves have been co-writes from many years in London with different people, as well as Adam and other members here. And Charlotte and Dylan have been, a big part of developing them into the songs that we're going to hear today. So
yeah, oh, that's brilliant. So talk us through a little bit more yourself. So as a band now, sure. what obviously there's these Celtic vibes you try and get through your music. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you're looking
yeah,
to
sure.
as a band?
Well, I think roots are very important, and I think that the Celtic vibes and the where we come from and is an interesting thing to explore. Around identity and the sort of the Celtic roots of things are probably one of the roots musics or the early musics that we can connect with, and so this album is something of a bit of a songwriting feat. I think a lot of people have been involved, and I'm really happy with the quality of the songs that have come out. And what we were exploring when we did this was how can we bring some roots to this and sort of make it connect with people. And I think that's the reason we're here, sort of plugging into the DNA a little bit,
Yeah, and so as a band that is obviously relatively new, to come out with an album, so early along the way, it must have been a bit of a big decision. So was there, sure. What was the thought process behind that?
Well, I think that, 8 songs just swerves in as an album, I reckon,
yep.
Yeah, we're calling it as a, so I think it was a feat for us to do, first off, but I think the quality was there, and we didn't want to hold something back in this for this, 'cause I think we achieved quite a lot in the studio, mm-hmm. and I think we just wanted everyone to hear that.
Yeah, and I think when we heard these songs coming out in our own rehearsal studio and when we were jamming, we just knew we needed to turn these into an album.
Yeah.
So it was like, and for Laurie and I said, yeah, it's really time that we actually put an album out, so this stuff was well and truly worthy to go into an album. So yeah, it was about as we said, 12 months in the making. We're out at 440 Studios a little bit, and pulled this together.
It's
sounding,
yeah, that was a really cool studio. It's a it's a little plug for 440. They're out in Eltham, and they're a whole,
my neck of the woods. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Oh, see,
Jared.
This is it.
Jared's
the man out there, and he's basically converted his entire house into a recording studio.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, so
the musician's dream.
Yeah, so you sort of go into the living room, and there's a huge drum setup, and it's all mic'd and the
yeah.
whole thing, and it's all wired back out to a control room that's in his garden, and then he's got other rooms with a grand piano in there, all mic'd up into a central control room, and it's really chilled out. It's got a lot of great vibes, and I think when we saw that place, we thought, wow, we can actually develop the songs and we can chill out, and it's not going to be, overly formal or in an overly, professional studio or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good way of developing the songs, and we got a good result. So, yeah, we're happy
yeah.
with that.
Had a great vibe to it.
So individually, have you grown up always being into music? Like, where did that passion for each of you come from?
Go on.
I was going to say, for me, I think, yeah, I grew up going around the rockabilly scene from when I was about 14. So I used to work with some bands originally as a roadie. And then pretty quickly I became a member of a band. I think I did my first rehearsal at the Terminus Hotel, which we might talk about later because that's just near the Skipping Girl. which pops up in one of our songs. But yeah, so I used to play in rockabilly bands from probably 15. Yeah, but it was just from being exposed to it because friends of mine were in that sort of scene, and I just was constantly, probably three nights a week when I was going through school, like some of our band members still are. yeah, I was probably out playing in pubs and stuff from that age. So that was that was me.
It's pretty what I'd call a pretty rough environment too, Adam, from memory.
Yeah, there was certainly yeah, I think the pubs back then were a bit rougher and stuff, and there was definitely the odd scuffle. I think my first gig where a band was concerned was I was the door guy at 14, 15 at the Terminus Hotel. But luckily I had good support there from some of the guys, like a guy from this band called the Straight Eights, Victor. I used to go out around a lot of places with him, and he used to keep watch my back, I think, in those places, because they were pretty rugged back then. But but on the flip side, it was a great place to experience Melbourne music and just see. We've got so many, Melbourne's already have always had so many great places for live music, and still does.
Definitely.
You know, so that's sort of my early experience, and yeah, I guess I just continued to play and still looking forward to continuing playing in those places. I mean, it's still a great vibe out there.
Sure.
Yeah. So, Charlotte, where did you start playing music?
I started mostly playing classical music, which I played for about 5 years or so before I ever did anything else. And then after that, I started playing a bit more folk music and like started figuring out that. But it was very weird for me. I think playing classical is a completely different style to what we're doing now with like the music that we've been playing. Mm. So it's been interesting to figure it out and to change some perceptions of how music works, which has been pretty cool. But yeah, I've just been, it's a completely different music style for me, but it's pretty fun. I like it.
Yeah, cool.
It's been good to do.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's that's interesting you say that, Charlotte, because yeah, that's that comes out a bit in the jams sometimes because improvising is something that makes you I think really it's usually a different a part of your brain. I think
a lot
of classical music is, well, particularly in the beginning, you have to read it, and it's
a lot
very
of
much
rule
a
following.
Yeah, and it's very mechanical, and it's almost a left brain activity. You know, and there's a lot of logical thought that goes in it, and improvising and you know, sort of letting go a little bit of more of a right brain activity, and yeah, and probably the two of them are the best musicians who've got a handle on both. You know, so. for me, I grew up in a very musical family. Everybody sings. Most of them are better than me, you know. you know, there's a very healthy competition that's always been bred into the family I'm in, and there's a lot of musicians quite successful that have come out of that melting pot, but generally we're also a clan and a family, and it's just probably the biggest part of our family life is music and singing and
Your catch ups must be very musical, the family.
Yeah, they are actually. Yeah, particularly if you get us on a Christmas with a few drinks down. they'll sing for into the early morning.
So, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah.
And in your group, there's obviously two youngies and the two. I don't want to call you old, but
older. No, that's okay. You can say that.
Old ones of the group. How's that cohesion?
Mature.
How's that cohesion, and how do you guys get along?
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting question, particularly because one of the youngies is actually my son, Dylan, who we mentioned didn't make it in this morning. But look, he's a great bass player as well. But I think the vibe's really good. Yeah, actually, I have to just try and forget that, you know, I'm Dylan's dad from time to time.
Yeah, these two are very young at heart.
About to say maybe, you know, we, you know, haven't, maybe a little bit, you know, mental age of a certain
You're on the right radio station.
I think Charlotte and Dylan are probably more mature than me.
More sensible anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it. So in terms of where our listeners can see you next, you've got some gigs coming up out here. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, so obviously probably the big plug for us is our album launch, which is at Bar Open. That's on the 6th of October. It's a matinee session, so we start at 3 p.m. So it should be a nice afternoon vibes.
Yeah.
And we've got some brilliant bands playing with us, and we plan to play the whole album. I think it'll be a great thing. So it'd be great to see some people down there.
That'd
be
fantastic. And there was another gig up as well.
Yeah, there's another just prior to that on the Thursday prior. So that must be
the third,
is it? Yeah, we're playing with another awesome band, which is Grey Mantis. They're a really cool band if you catch them around town.
Yeah.
We're playing with them at the ESPY.
Yeah, ESPY's
always
venue.
A good gig. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
We played, for Laurie and I, that'll be like a little bit of going back to the 90s. We played there years ago.
Yeah, we used to play the Gershwin Room at the ESPY in the 90s.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Back with some friends of ours who still play around. So that's with Grey Mantis at the ESPY. But then, as Laurie said, bar open on Sunday the 6th.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, to give our listeners a bit of a taste, we thought we might play one of your songs. Tell us a little bit about the song that we're going to give a spin. So,
Sure. So this is called "Hole in the Road," and I think very genuinely, it's almost a Vic Rhodes complaint, and mixed in with an existential view of urban decay.
Wow. Enjoy, listeners. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha, and Brendan. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha, and Brendan. We just heard "Hole in the Road" by Cat and Bull Club, and we're lucky enough to still be joined by Cat and Bull Club in the studio. Thanks for hanging around.
Hey, hey.
Laurie, Charlotte and Adam. Sorry, I'll get my names out there eventually. I almost said Trisha. Thanks for hanging around, Trisha, as one of the hosts of the show. We do appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here.
We're now going to get into one of my favourite segments here that we like to do with the different groups that come in. So thank you very much for being good sports and taking part. It is Clickbait Frenzy. We do have an opener that may or may not work. Let's give it a red hot go and see what happens. Oh, that'll be wrong again. Clearly something's going wrong there. That is okay. Anyway, it is Clickbait Frenzy. That's right. You're on community radio here, guys. You can tell, can't you? What we do here, very simple. I absolutely love clickbait. It is one of my favorite things to go through, but I don't actually like reading the articles because generally they turn out to be pretty boring. I prefer to go through, look at the headline, and then try and work out what the article might be about, and we'll tend to have a lot more fun with that. In honour of the fact we have the Cat and Bull Club in the studio today, they are all cat/cow related, all the headlines
nice
today.
Themed.
So
well themed.
Yes, I do my best. I do my best. So we'll go through a few of them and see what you guys come up with. To start off with today, we've got the headline, "This family left their new kitten alone with their pit bull. Then they came back to find," and it has a picture of a cat and a pit bull hanging out. So what do we reckon? What did they come back to find?
I'm just really hoping it's a happy ending.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be, though. It could be. It could be. Yeah.
Surely they wouldn't put a story up if the ending wasn't happy. Like, you'd expect something terrible to happen because it's a little baby kitten and a pit bull.
Get creative.
Yeah, but, you know, you could find a small kitten-styled rug on the floor.
Interior decorating.
Yeah.
I'm going the opposite. I'm backing the kitten against the pit bull. And I reckon we've got a pit bull mat on the floor.
Oh, yes. Man. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, awesome.
It just makes me think of, like, there used to be these cartoons where this kitten used to sit on top of a big dog and kind of make its bed. I don't know if you guys remember that. Yeah. It's sort of, you know, so I sort of imagine the kitten actually treating the dog a bit like
it's a bit of bedding.
Yeah, something like that.
I like that. Well, it's actually a whole lot simpler, as usual, than you'd imagine. Apparently, they found them play fighting, and the kitten was the one being the aggressor, the attacker.
The people were on the money.
Yeah, there we go. James is pretty happy. All right, moving on to the next one. We've got, if you ever see your cat doing this, they're trying to tell you something very important. For the benefit of our listeners, it has an image of a cat nipping a person's finger. So what are we thinking?
Hungry.
Yeah, that's the obvious one.
No, knowing cats, it's like, if you don't feed me, I'll probably eat you in your sleep. Yeah. I've got a cat that does exactly that, actually.
I'll just cut you.
I've been lying in bed, hand hanging over the bed, and suddenly wake up with a cat hanging off the end of it. So yeah. I've actually experienced this firsthand, so to speak.
Yeah, well, we have talked about my adventures with cats biting my toes at night previously on the show, so
my
I definitely know what you're talking about.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I think it's a bit like those snakes that kind of size up when they're trying to eat you. It's kind of the equivalent of that. So she's kind of doing that because she wants to eat the owner.
working out whether it will work or not. That's a lot of human to eat, I would have thought.
For a little kitten.
No, again, this one's a little bit left field. Apparently, it actually means that they like you if they take a little nip on your finger. It's their way of showing their love for you.
Well, there you go.
Wow. A handshake would be nice. You know?
Yeah, I don't know, though.
Well, there is a difference
balls.
Between, like, a full-on bite from a cat and just a little nip. Like, they can nip you and it'd be fine, or they can bite to draw blood. I think it's a different thing.
Well, you are the Cat and Bull Club, so we'll take your word on it as gospel.
Yeah, we do have a level of subject matter expertise.
absolutely.
So we better deal with the other half of the equation here, which, of course, is bulls, or I've stretched it a bit here, / cows. This is a great headline. It really does set you up to wonder where it's going next. This scared cow started crying out of fear until she realised where she was going. And, of course, it's an image of a crying cow.
So she stopped crying when she realised where she was going?
Correct.
Oh, obviously Disneyland.
Yeah. Of course. Obviously. Of course cows dream of going to Disneyland.
Why would they?
I mean, where else would they dream of going, though? Can you think of a better option?
Well, India. I think she's off to India. Yeah. I'm going to the land of the sacred cow. Awesome.
This is it.
Yeah, look, we did one of our signature segments earlier today, the Moos, where we do talk about cow-related news. I reckon this cow got excited because it realised it was going to go on live TV on the Jimmy Fallon show.
No,
so
it was
going to
come on the Moos with us. Special guest.
Yeah, look, so apparently Jimmy Fallon did host on his Tonight Show a race between him and Ashton Kutcher to see who could milk a cow faster. So that's what we talked about earlier. So I reckon that's what the cow was going for. Any additions, Tricia? No.
I'm sick of cows.
Trisha never has an addition to
this. No, I'm just sick of cows today, honestly.
Yeah, we have talked a lot of cows, haven't we? Well, for a city-based radio show, we really do talk a lot of cows, don't we?
Yeah, it should be country-based, shouldn't it?
I am from the country, though.
Yeah, and I'm a country boy as well, so hopefully all our country listeners are appreciating it. No, this cow, it turns out it was going to an animal sanctuary. It realised it was on its way to an animal sanctuary, to a happy life, and it stopped crying.
What was so special about this cow that it got to go to a sanctuary?
Good question. I didn't read the article, remember? That's not the job of this. I found the important information and got out of there. Chances are it was a very boring reason. That's why we love Clickbait Frenzy. Let's give that opener another go because I'm crazy enough to do so. There we go. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio today, Cat and Bull Club. We really do appreciate it. Do you want to plug your upcoming gigs before you head off? So you've got a couple coming up, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got the ESPY on the Thursday, the
3rd of October.
Thanks, Charlotte. with Grey Mantis. And then the Sunday, the 6th of October, that'd be, at Bar Open Fitzroy. That's going to be an absolute great arvo there, matinee. From 3 to 6 p.m., so get on down.
Tickets on the door.
Yep, absolutely. And we've got two great bands there with us as well. So there'll be Good Morning Chaos, who are a really cool band, and Uncle Ben's Last Words, who are another young band around Melbourne getting around, which also Dylan's in that band as well. So he's moonlighting in two bands now.
Oh, wow.
Our bass player.
Really getting around.
Yeah. He
just needs to get out of bed. And bass players have
cruise in, cruise out.
Yeah, exactly.
the groove in on the bass. Sort
of, you end up playing in lots of bands as a bass player.
Everyone needs a bass player,
approach.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. Well, we're going to play one more of your songs after we say goodbye. It will be Heart to Keep. Do you want to tell us something about it before we jump into this one?
Sure. So obviously this is a bit of a deep dive into relationships, and was about a big relationship that finished for me. And this is kind of the feelings and the articulation of it. I think the production on it is something we're really, really happy with, what we ended up with. It's obviously it's quite a personal song, but also I think we've made a really, really cool track out of it. So I'm glad to hear.
Thanks again for joining us, Laurie, Adam and Charlotte today, the Cat and Bull Club. We really do appreciate having you in the studio.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks for having us, guys.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. Let's get into Heart to Keep by Cat and Bull Club. Enjoy.
It's 8:10 on a wonderful Thursday morning. We had the What were they called?
Cat and Bull Club. Yes, short-term memory there. Yeah, that was hard to keep by the Cat and Bull Club.
Yeah, nice little songs for us there. But we've got a giveaway now.
Oh, so that's exciting.
We've never done this on the show. We've got 3 double passes to give away.
That's right.
This morning. It's for the student creator track at VidCon 2019. If you're a student, you obviously just, if you tagged a friend in the post, then you're in the draw to win. And
that's right. So we did promote this on social media during the week that we were giving away these passes. So if you missed out on this giveaway, please, please, please like our Facebook page or our Instagram, Get Serial, either one, and you won't miss out on giveaways like this in the future. But James is lucky enough to be announcing the winners today. So if you hear your name, if you're one of those people who did tag them somebody on our social media, then you're about to get very lucky, potentially.
Yes, and we'd like to get a bit of a drum roll, but we don't have one.
You don't have a sophisticated producer, remember?
We're not that good.
So the first winner for a double pass is Jaslyn King.
Congratulations, Jaslyn. Make sure to get in touch on our social media. We'll get in touch with you as well.
The next second winner is Gabriella Kaylee Sumanpour. I hope I said that. No, I think I said that correctly.
I think you did. And we've got a drum roll for the final one. Here we go. Let's see if it works.
And the final one is Melanie Arthur.
Oh, you went off early. Congratulations, Melanie. Again, we'll be in contact. How exciting is that? Going to VidCon, which will be a fantastic event.
Something I'd probably do, trying to get a bit of self-fame, eh?
Well, it's all about,
growing your brand, growing your image.
Social media, I think VidCon's really focused on short-form content as well, so there's lots of really interesting things going on in that space. Obviously, you know, the world of Instagram and Snapchat stories.
Not my Snapchat private story content. that'd go
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not going to be there, James. I mean,
I just found out. Maybe I should have entered the comp.
You should be a host, I think, with the quality of your content.
Yeah, they should come see me and I'll give them tips and tricks. We've got an interview coming up with Tash York, so make sure to stick around for that. But a hot new track by Why Don't We? This is I Still Do. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
And that one was I Still Do by Why Don't We? Right now, though, we are very fortunate to have the talented Tash York join us in for an interview this morning. Tash is a singer, an improviser, a cabaret performer, an MC. List goes on and on with how capable.
That's almost exhausting. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Can you hear a giggling in the back?
Handy resume.
Very handy.
No, but we're very lucky to have a chat with her this morning. Tash, how are you feeling since the last time we spoke, actually?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Out of Melbourne Fringe today. I can't believe it's already September. The year's flown by. But yeah, no, feeling awesome, feeling excited and happy to be back on the show.
That's awesome to hear. But before we jump into that one, for our listeners who may not know too much about you, we thought we'd ask you, have you grown up always with a passion for cabaret and musical improv? Like, how did you get into this industry?
I actually grew up thinking I was going to be a very serious actress, and I did a lot of drama for a lot of years as a kid, and, you know, I never really sang all that much, to be honest, until sort of my later years in high school. And then I got into musical theatre and did that for a lot of years, sang in a couple of bands, and then finally went to, you know, college for, you know, acting and drama and also doing a business degree at the same time, because, you know, that's smart. And then ended up going to musical theatre school for 3 years at the Queensland Con. Thought, you know, I was going to, like, live all of my best music theatre dreams there. Really discovered how hard it is to be a music theatre performer over those 3 years. And also the fact that I can't dance. So that was a lot. And once that finished, I was like, what can I do that involves all of these things, which is me singing, me talking a lot, and also, you know, just having an affinity for being around dodgy venues that have really cool lighting. And that was it. Cabaret was the way forward. So moved to Melbourne from Queensland. And, the cabaret scene in Melbourne hasn't been able to get rid of me ever since.
Oh, that's fantastic. So obviously you've been around Melbourne for a little while. what do you feel about the Melbourne music scene and the Melbourne cabaret scene? Do you think it's grown over the time you've been involved with it? Is it a good scene?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially coming from Queensland at the time. I mean, Queensland's actually done really well. I've been here for 6 years now. And over the last 6 years, I've seen Queensland grow a whole heap. Obviously, Melbourne, I guess, because I've been within it, I think that it's grown a whole heap. But maybe this is just how cool Melbourne is and it's only taken me this long to figure it out. I'm not sure. But I think the best thing about Melbourne is that there's you know, different entry points at whatever level you're at. You know, there's a venue for everyone. And I think that's really important, especially when you're starting out, you know, that you can just put on a show with no idea with what you're doing. And someone will be like, yeah, sure, we'll do a 50-50 door deal. And you're like, really? Okay, well, great. Well, let's try this then. And I think it gives a really good environment for people to try stuff out and get better at it over the years. So, yeah.
Yeah, you've come a long way since that point, however. I wouldn't describe you as someone who has no idea what they're doing. You're about to take to the stage for your show at the Melbourne Fringe. Can you tell us about it and what you'll be doing for us at the Fringe?
Yeah, sure. I'm doing my solo cabaret show called Badass. This is my third solo cabaret, we're doing it at Chapel Off Chapel. This is my first show that I've presented in Melbourne that I actually have a live band with me, a three-piece band, which is very exciting. And this show is all about basically all the things that we do in our everyday lives to make us feel more strong, powerful, and generally badass. And in my case, despite the fact that I suffer from anxiety, that I can still get through the day doing those everyday little badass things that make me stronger and more powerful and able to cope with life.
So has being part of the cabaret industry something that's definitely helped you get over your anxiety?
Absolutely not.
Complete opposite of what I thought.
It's funny, I've said this, I started a podcast with my very dear friend, Miss Betty Bombshell, and it's called Friends with Benefits. And the whole point of the show is that we want to get a whole bunch of performers on and basically talk about, you know, obviously all the things that you learn from being in the industry for a while and all your showgirl tips and secrets, but also about mental health, because I think mental health in the arts industry is something that's really obviously spoken about, but something that people don't assume that someone who's, you know, this like award-winning cabaret performer or an amazing burlesque performer or whatever actually struggles with. And we thought, yeah, well, both of us are in quite good positions in our careers, and you know, we still have all of these, you know, mental issues and stuff, and that I think it's an important conversation to have. And it's not that I guess it's gotten worse. I think it's more that we spoke about last time is that the further along in your career you get, the more pressure you put on yourself and the more that is expected of you as well. And especially when you suffer from something like anxiety, those sorts of things as a pressure point are not great together all the time. But in saying that, you get better at handling those things as well. So it's, it's all about a balance and making sure you have the right crew of people around you to, you know, have you back and look after you.
Yeah, look, I'd be fascinated to have a listen to your podcast, and I'm sure our listeners would as well. So just again, what was the title of that one?
It's called Friends with Benefits. It's actually not properly being released out to the world until later this month. At the moment, it's just available on our Patreon. But yeah, we're basically, because Betty went overseas for a month, so I was like, let's release it on Patreon first and then create this build-up. Anyway, it's fine.
That's all right. We're feeling the hype in the studio now. We're excited.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, that's going to be then ongoing, and we're going to interview all different performers from, you know, drag to stand-up comedy, burlesque, cabaret, circus performers. And even just we thought it might be interesting to get, you know, the partners of those people in and how they cope with dealing with a creative artist as a partner. Because we think, yeah, it's all encompassing and all really important.
Yeah, and that must be, it must be a unique challenge, being the partner of someone in that industry.
Yeah, 100%. My fiancé is laying in bed next to me right now while I do a radio.
Say hi for us.
Hi, Kev.
Dear, well, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
No, pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No, that's okay. So, Melbourne Fringe, obviously an excellent event. Have you been involved previously over the years, and how do you feel about the whole Melbourne Fringe?
I have been involved over the years. It's something that I try and always get involved in, but usually I end up being in other people's shows. I don't tend to do my own shows in Melbourne Fringe, only because I do my own shows in Melbourne all year round. So I kind of try and help other people out and be involved. But this year, Chapel made me an offer that I couldn't refuse. So I was like, okay, well, let's go and do that. Also, because the first day of Melbourne Fringe this year, which is today, which is Are You OK Day, and Are You OK Day is basically a charity that creates awareness for mental health, and it's also a suicide prevention charity. And basically the whole point of Are You OK Day is just to ask people, are you okay, and actually take some time to listen and look out for each other. And I thought, well, that's kind of really beautiful with the messages that is also in my show, and having the two coincide at the same time, I thought would be a really lovely thing to do. So we're raising some money for that over the next 3 nights of my show and taking donations for the charity as well.
Yeah, and look, it is a really serious issue, mental health in society all round. So it's fantastic
exactly.
that you're taking on an issue like this. For the sake of our listeners, if any of these topics we've discussed have caused you any concern, make sure to give Beyond Blue a call on 1300 22 4636 or Lifeline on 13 11 14. But it's amazing that you're talking about these subjects honestly, and you know that I suspect that'll be really valuable for a lot of people. So well done on that front.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's already been, you know, so far when I have performed the show, I've had some, like, really incredible stories and people reach out afterwards. And as much as it sounds like, you know, I'm talking about it in a really serious way, the whole point of the show is actually really rewarding everyone that does, you know, either suffer from a mental illness or looks after someone that suffers from a mental illness, that, hey, we are all actually badasses. And if we can get through our day and make it through to the end, then that's pretty awesome. So
that is such a great message. So for all our listeners who are no doubt keen to check out your show now, can you tell us a little bit more about it again? So it'll be on tonight, is that right?
Yeah, it opens tonight at 7 o'clock, and that's at Chapel of Chapel, which is in Paran, and that'll be tonight and tomorrow night at 7, and then on Saturday night it's at 9 o'clock, and then afterwards we can all go to the Fringe Club and have a really great time. So
geez, sounds like a really good night.
That sounds brilliant.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tash York. We really appreciate it. We'll let you get back to sleep, I guess, if you're still lying in bed.
No, I'm going to try and convince Kev to make me breakfast.
I reckon you should, given that you've got a big performance tonight and it sounds like a fantastic one as well. So thanks again for coming on the show.
So much for having me. Have a great morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tash.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. We're going to play 1955 now by the Hilltop Hoods. Enjoy.
That was 1955 with Hilltop Hoods. You are listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan.
I think we should rename it to Get Celery now.
Get Celery. I don't know where that comes from. So we teased about this a little bit this morning and we've made your way to the very end of the show. James has started a new job the last couple of weeks and he seemed to settle in okay, but he came to uni the other day and said that he went for a little bit of a dive. And yeah,
like, such a strange thing to say.
Okay, here we go. What's this going to be about? It was a dumpster dive. And poor James, do you care to explain what on earth happened?
Please.
Yeah, I finished work an extra hour because of this dumpster dive the other night. So, yeah, I've got a new job at an after-school care at a primary school. And it's not so much looking after kids. It's doing the kitchen work and just making sure the place is tidy and there's not too much of a mess around, doing the dishes and stuff like that. Anyway, so I needed to take out the trash at the end of the shift,
no.
Take out the rubbish. So I get the key from the boss to take out the rubbish to open the dumpster. And I throw the trash in the dumpster and I walk off. And then my boss asks for the keys.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh no, where are the keys? I couldn't find them or anything. So anyway, I go back to the dumpster to look for the keys and they're not in the lock. So I used the other boss's keys to open the lock for the second time, and I went into the dumpster. I had a bit of a dive in the dumpster, 45 minutes in the dumpster trying to find keys. Up there was water in there. There was all this stuff in there.
45 minutes.
45 minutes trying to find keys. Because I thought I'd get the sack if I didn't find these keys.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know if her car keys were attached to it or her home keys. Thankfully, in the end, it was just the school keys. But 45 minutes. And guess what? After that 45 minutes, what happened?
It wasn't in your pocket, was it?
No. I didn't find the keys in the dumpster. I didn't find the keys in the dumpster. I was 45 minutes searching in this dumpster, get out of the dumpster, go into the office and tell them that I still don't have the keys. And then the next morning, get a text, all good, we have the keys. Where were they? Someone after me went into the dumpster and saw the keys hanging in the lock and took them out and took them to Lost Property.
No.
So when by the time I came back, they were gone. And do you know what I originally thought? And this is why I was in the dumpster. I thought I'd thrown the trash into the bin with the keys.
Oh, wow.
So I thought I did it like a double throw.
Yeah, double throw.
Like, because I can't... Like, and when I came back to where I was cleaning to give the keys back, like, the boss wasn't there, so I didn't remember to give the keys. So I didn't even know for another half an hour. So half an hour later, she goes, where's my keys?
It
was the worst. So I
what
left,
a roller coaster.
I left work. And this is my second week in the job. So you can just imagine how I'm feeling. Like, I'm already 2 weeks in, still getting the hang of it kind of thing. I'm still new. Like, all the kids don't know me yet. Like, who's this kid? Looks like your brother.
Yeah, he looks like another member of the kindergarten community.
Pretty much. I look like one of the kids. There's a kid that's in, like, year three, almost taller than me.
Oh, okay. That's terrifying.
But, yeah, you just imagine the guilt. I was so embarrassed to go face the boss to tell her that I don't have the key. But she was all cool with it. Thankfully, in the end, it was just a school key. It didn't have her house keys or her car keys onto it. So it could have been a lot worse. But I learnt my lesson, and that was diving into a dumpster for 45 minutes for no keys. And I was legit grabbing all this trash and throwing it everywhere, just to all these bags of trash just to find these keys. I got covered in dirt and all this disgusting mud. And it was a lesson learnt. Took a shower as soon as I got home, and it was much needed.
Oh, I can imagine. I'm sure we've all had incidents with losing things, especially keys. Have you had any, Tricia, or are you?
Have I?
Organized?
Oh, I am the master of losing things.
Well, I lost my bag a few weeks ago. We talked about it on air. Remember when I left my bag at uni? So I've got a few stories.
Yeah, you've got a history.
Every time I leave the house, my best friend has made me sing keys, wallet, glasses, phone to make sure that I have everything. And most of the times I don't. And it's a, where's my keys? Where's my glass? For someone that's supposed to wear their glasses 24/7, I lose them more than they're on my face. My keys... Always missing.
Can you give us a bit of an X Factor audition of the song?
Yeah, we want to hear it.
We need to hear it.
Come on. We need it stuck in everyone's heads.
Keys, wallet, glasses, phone, glasses, phone.
Good rip-off too. I love it.
No, but that's one thing. I lose everything for an organised person.
And
I don't know where anything is.
Brendan, how'd you go with your glasses?
Yeah, look, I'm not great. I'm legendary for sitting on my glasses. You may have noticed that they're slightly off kilter. It's something that annoys people a lot.
Nice word in the vocabulary there, kilter.
Oh yeah, that's it. They're a bit off, a bit tilted, and that is because I've sat on them so many times. But I'm similar to Tricia. Whenever I leave anywhere, even the train, I will pad all my pockets to make sure I have everything that I went on with, because if I don't, then I will lose.
I think you should
sing the song, because we're both glasses wearers, so it's suitable. I don't know if James would have to think of something for glasses, but...
Hand glasses.
Headphones. All the priorities.
Yeah,
look, the moment that really made me so careful was when I lost my wallet on a bus, and that was just the worst bit. That feeling, that sinking feeling when I realised that bus
Your
was
ID's
taking off with
there.
My money, my ID. I was travelling on a trip to Melbourne back when I was living in the country, so I was very excited, and then suddenly the whole trip went to boop. It wasn't good.
Pear-shaped, yeah.
Yeah, it was not fun at all. Thankfully... It turned up, had a good ending.
I left my purse in in Sydney. I forgot the town then. City. We went to Sydney and we got a ride from the ground, because I went to the footy, obviously, and went to out afterwards. They took my purse. I got it back, but still, like, knowing that it was not there for that brief moment, and you need your ID to go out, you know, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, to do anything, really.
Yeah, so, yeah. Getting it back was definitely the biggest relief of my life. But
Now, did I tell you I love Sam Smith?
You may have once or twice. This feels like a very random thing to say.
No, not really. We're just going to play one of his songs. This is How Do You Sleep by Sam Smith. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Get Serial.
You can do a better segue than that, mate. He's lost his ability to sleep. That's what he's lost. That's why the song is called How Do You Sleep.
Oh.
There we go.
You could have intertwined that so well.
Hey.
Poor form.
No, poor form.
Enjoy.
That was How Do You Sleep by Sam Smith. That's such a good song. Such a good song.
Tune.
Yes. All right. It's actually so different. We can talk about this because it's entertainment. It's such a different vibe his music has released this year compared to the previous slower, more, you know, break my heart music.
Yeah, he's really changed his sound.
Yeah. And one of my best friends, she adores Sam Smith. And I never really did purely for the fact that it was the slower, sadder vibes.
And he sounded like he was crying half the time, too.
Yeah, and nothing... Yeah. He's a very talented singer. I would never take that away from him, but it was never my music. But now, How Do You Sleep? Dancing with a Stranger, that's a tune.
It's my jam,
yeah. Like we're starting to see a really
been a good
groovier
year for Sam
Smith.
Yeah. The year of Sam Smith and Keanu Reeves.
Pretty much.
Anyway, speaking of entertainment, what have you got for us today, Trisha?
Well, I don't really keep up on entertainment. I can't even keep up with my family's like news and stories. So, but this come up on my feed and I got excited. JoJo's coming to Australia. JoJo.
Who's JoJo?
Do you really know?
I have no idea who JoJo is.
She has like the bows.
Yeah, she's a little teeny dancer. She first was on Dance Moms and now she's got her own show.
Excuse me while I quietly do a quick search.
5-year-old girls love her.
Do I look like a 5-year-old girl to you? Don't answer that.
I'll see you
no,
past
but
that
I
one.
Feel like my feed this week has been JoJo's coming to Australia and now obviously Taylor Swift at a Melbourne Cup. But I don't know. What about you boys? What's caught your eyes this week in entertainment goss?
Well, obviously not JoJo because I don't know who she is.
I don't know why I caught mine.
So what did she do again? She was on
Dance Moms, so she was a dancer. And now James watches Nickelodeon apparently, so he knows that there's a show.
All over it. Yep.
You're all around it. Yeah. Dance Moms is such a terrifying show.
I loved it.
Oh, I bet you did.
Oh, I would wake up and watch that goss. I didn't care about the dancing.
Who was actually watching it? They barely show dancing. They just show people absolutely having a go.
It was
at each
really
other.
It was
very
really
very juicy show. Love Island is coming back to our TV screens.
Yes, you did say that.
That got announced too. That's another very juicy show.
James looks excited to keep up with the drama.
Actually was thinking about applying for Love Island, but then I realised I have a face for radio, which is why I'm here. So I wouldn't make it on Love Island, unfortunately.
I really wish you tried.
Imagine the content we could have got out of that.
Do you know, I reckon the fact that you're a smaller person would have knocked you back.
Smaller?
I think you need a taller, more like...
So you're saying I need to work out?
No. Well, I didn't say
that. That's right. You and I have the same problem then because I have briefly considered going on Ninja Warrior. Applications have just opened and I also realised that I'm not muscular enough for that. So we've got the same issue there.
Me and Brendan are hitting the gym after this.
This is contradicting everything that I said on Trisha on Sport. I said that this doesn't matter. And look at me now saying that you need to be a taller man to be on Love Island.
I need to be shirtless with abs and I need to be a bit of eye candy for you, don't I?
Is that what you're saying? Actually, it's probably why I don't watch those shows. I just think it's so stupid. But anyway.
It's not a sport, Love Island. It's unashamedly eye candy. Yeah,
this one is different. So it's okay. I'm in the clear.
Speaking of entertainment news, I love this one. The Weeknd, who's an artist that I quite like, and I think we might have to spin a tune of his next week.
Yeah, we've probably only had one song all year, all season,
have
I should
we?
Say.
Yeah.
I think we've had one.
We need more.
We need more.
Don't fear, listeners, we'll be back with some Weeknd next week. But he's come out of hiding
and
is front and centre with what is described as, quote, a big old porn stash, unquote.
So
have you seen the porn stash before? It's essentially a moustache of a particular style that is associated with porn stars of the 1970s, I think.
Okay. Is it like an 80s porn stash?
Yeah, I think so, literally. Yeah. So I can show you the images now.
You might have.
For the benefit of our listeners, he literally just has a really sort of...
One of those.
Yeah,
okay.
Really out there moustache.
I don't mind, I rate it.
You rate it, do you?
Rate that porn stash.
Could you grow one? No.
Blow.
All right, another challenge for James. We'll see you in 2 weeks'
porn
time.
Stash in 2 weeks for the last show.
I'm expecting that now. Are you going to have it? You look like an 80s footballer then, because you're also going to have your
football.
You know,
I was seriously thinking the same thing. I'm like, you're going to come in your footy gear.
I look like a dipper. Fresh out of the 80s. Robert Dipper de Medical.
Oh, nicely pronounced there. Got any others for us, James? Any other entertainment news going around?
There's heaps. Did find out for the grand final, it's Conrad Saul singing the national anthem.
Ooh.
Yeah. So a big one. That
interesting.
They don't normally have a big name singing the national anthem.
Oh, they bring out a few.
And they have big names headlining the entertainment, but normally the anthem, they just get Joe off the street to sing it. So, but the fact they've got Conrad Saul is a bit of a get for them.
Very talented Aussie artist. I'm quite a fan of Conrad Saul.
Which we haven't played. Another one
we should spin next week.
Yeah. That's, well, there you go. We'll have to give Conrad Saul a bit of hype as well. Well,
if there's any others, just request some artists through our social media. And we'll
absolutely. Hit us up on Facebook.
Maybe this is how we start making our playlist. Yeah. Anyone that's mentioned in Entertain and Goss gets the song in the following week.
Spin the next week. So there you go. We're rewarding all those people who are hungry for headlines. I got one more for you. The internet gets a little weird sometimes. So apparently this is the latest fashion trend, speaking of entertainment. The latest viral trend involves teens gluing their lips to get a fuller look.
How can they talk? Gluing their lips together or just gluing their lips?
No, apparently they're gluing their top lips by folding them back in order to achieve a plump look, which is quite possibly the most horrifying thing I've heard in a long time.
Wow.
But yeah, they're gluing their top lip back a bit.
Trisha's kind of trying to do it here.
Yeah, so you get that real full look. Yeah.
I reckon we give Trisha some glue and upload a photo on social media.
I have a pencil case with no glue. I'm actually a bit disappointed right now.
Look, I think it's a good thing.
So to your top, like...
Yeah, so you have that real fish face look.
Oh, I've got to do it. I love fishies.
That good Finding Nemo look just for you there, Trisha.
Yes, I'm going to try.
Wow. Oh my goodness, what is wrong with the world?
What is wrong with us?
Well, do we have one more song for this morning?
We can spin one more to finish it off. What do we got?
We've got two to pick from, Brendan.
I think we spin a bit of Regular Touch by Vera Blue. Speaking of touching our top lips there, as we were. That is the worst segue ever, but we'll pay it.
We've tried a lot this morning.
Enjoy. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. And sadly, it is time to say goodbye. We always get a bit sad at this point
of the week,
don't we,
Trisha? They're getting quicker every week. Every week.
Yeah,
we're closer to the end and it's kind of sad, eh?
Well, it's so much fun coming in and catching up and hopefully, I don't know, hopefully our listeners miss us because we miss them, don't we?
Yeah, well, we do. I feel like I finally got comfortable. Look how I'm sitting right now. Like, I don't care anymore.
At the wrong time of year.
I got two more shows. And I'm like, oh, but.
Hopefully we will be back next season.
That's absolutely right.
I am promising we will be back.
In one form or another, never fear. We've still got two shows to go. We can't say goodbye yet. We will be back next week, in fact. But until then, it has been an absolutely epic show this morning. We've played some fantastic tracks, debuted the new one from your
Posty.
Favorite. Yeah, from Post
there's
Malone.
There's a few debuting,
artists.
One from Why Don't We.
That's right, and one
we'll
from One Republic as well.
And Lorv. So we've had four debuts that have been pretty
fresh.
They
definitely
fresh.
Have not been heard anywhere else.
some of them haven't.
Oh, that's a big call.
Mainstream radio stations haven't played the one by Lorv or the one by Why Don't We. So we release that
you're
one.
You're claiming
freshly.
An exclusive.
I'm complaining.
I don't know if you can. Yeah, let's
I'd love to think so.
We've also the new one by One Republic, Wanted, which I've been loving. So make sure you get around the playlist. We'll post that up on our socials. We've also given away some tickets to VidCon, so that was pretty exciting. Congratulations to all those people who were lucky winners. We'll be in touch with you on social media. Make sure you like our Facebook or Instagram, any of our socials, not only to potentially win giveaways, but to also listen to our podcast and to see content from all the other wonderful Get Serial shows during the week. The podcast will be fantastic today. Been fire, hasn't it? Hasn't it, Trish?
Yes, it's been very good. I'm looking forward to putting this one together. It'll be a good listen back.
If you want to hear our voices again, definitely check that one out. It's
of course I
show.
Do.
Oh, always. Gosh, we're so arrogant, aren't we? what was your favourite part of the show today, guys? Just to
I loved the... Both interviews were good, but I really liked the one with Tash. Yeah. I think it was just shedding light on something... Like, I didn't even expect it, but to talk about the mental health and how she's trying to positively, you know, tell people it's okay and, like, you know.
Yeah, getting through the day is an achievement.
Yeah, exactly.
Tash York, this was. It was a fantastic
interview. I definitely think if you can go see that show the next couple of nights, I think it'll be worth it.
Absolutely. Make sure you get on the podcast to find out more. What about yourself, James?
Oh, definitely the music.
Yeah.
Definitely the music. We'll definitely post a playlist after the show. So if there's any songs that tickled your earbuds this morning, be sure to check them out.
We do love a good earbud tickle around here, don't we? On Get Serial.
Or a massage.
Yeah, a bit of an earbud massage as well. Look, for me, it was the Moose. I always get around the Moose. I'm not going to give
you
any more context.
Outside.
Just listen to the podcast. Trisha's leaving the studio. It must be time to go home. but
catch
also,
you next week,
it was great to talk to the Cat and Bull Club. That was a fantastic interview as well. So we did have some fantastic content this morning. We love you, Melbourne. We hope you love us just as much. Have a wonderful Thursday. Make sure you have a good breakfast. That's what we're all about here on Get Cereal. Until next time, from your Thursday morning crew. Toodaloo. Tschüss. Goodbye. Adios.
I was going to say adios.
Oh, you're going to have to find a new one.
Au revoir.
Hey, nicely done.
This has been a Get Cereal podcast. Get Cereal, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.